the EFL. It's the Football League podcast reeling after all the Easter drama. Coming up, Burnley and Leeds, literally. The Championship relegation scrap has been whittled down to a mere 8 teams. Who wants second in League One? Charlton Athletic entered the chat. And Morecambe's mayor. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And crikey, that was a dramatic few days of EFL football, wasn't it? Lots has been sorted, lots still up for grabs. We're here to discuss it all. It's me, Matt Davis-Adams. I'm joined by Adrian Clark. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Yeah, it was crack. I loved Easter Monday. It was, thriller minute stuff, wasn't it? So many stories. We'll get to that over the next few minutes.
We will. These two were both at games. I was glued to the settee on Monday, one of those rare occasions where you want to watch the scores rather than a game. Sam Parkin, fresh, back from Wales, question mark?
Quite long-winded, a lot of tales to tell. The best being, I walked into the services at Lee Delamere, telling the colleague who I had kindly given a lift to, all the way to Newport, that, it's the worst being at a service station on a bank holiday. These people that have been on holiday, desperate for their last KFC burger. In fact, I've got a mate who, him and his family, they always stop for a Burger King and a KFC en route to Devon and on the way back from Devon, without fail. Walk into said services, there is my mate and his family having a KFC. God is my witness. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Weren't even going on holiday, just wanted to stick to the tradition.
No, lives just outside High Wycombe, just gone to Lee Delamere for a day out. No, he'd been in Devon on the way back. So,
What was it, Zinger Tower, Bargain Bucket? You know, what do you go for?
I'm not sure. I liked, actually, his daughter had gone rogue and gone for a Burger King despite the other three members of the family having a KFC. So that was a nice touch. And I listened to Clarkey all the way home. Sport around the grounds, which was thrilling. And that was half time, obviously. 15 minute interlude to go and get myself a Pret for me.
Nice one. Well, neither Pret, KFC, nor Burger King are sponsors of this podcast, but Quinbet are, and they have an offer for you where you can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you are guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. You can get information on responsible gambling at gambleaware.org. Okay, let's start today by getting into the Championship. And Leeds United and Burnley are getting out of the Championship. They've confirmed their places in the Premier League for next season. Leeds followed up their narrow win at Oxford on Good Friday with a 6-0 thumping of Stoke, whilst Burnley edged out Watford at Vicarage Road before squeezing past Sheffield United in the big one at Turf Moor on Monday. We always say, Adrian, that the league table doesn't lie. The fact that this pair have lost 6 of 88 league games between them would tell you that they are rightly the top two teams in the division this season.
Yeah, they deserve it, definitely. The best attack, Leeds United, by quite some distance, I think it's fair to say. 89 goals, 25 more than anyone else in the Championship, which is quite extraordinary, really. And then you're looking at the best defence, aren't you? Just 15 goals conceded. It still blows my mind that they've not conceded more than one goal in any of their 44 matches. That's just off the scale good from Scott Parker and his team. So, yeah, they do deserve it. I did think all along that the eye test told me that they were the top two from games that I've watched this year, that Sheffield United, despite having really good players and some outstanding performances in certain matches, I just felt they were just a little bit short of the other two. And I'm glad that the sort of points deduction hasn't proved fatal particularly either. So I think we've got the right two, but what I would say is that Sheffield United be... red hot favourites, I think, to win the playoffs. But yeah, lots to say about Burnley and Leeds. I mean, Maxime Estève, I just want to give him a shout out. This guy, whenever I've seen him, has been pure Rolls Royce. Like, reads everything. As soon as there's any danger, bang, he's across there. He's quick, reads the play. He's a good defender. He's got a great nose. 22 years of age. I think he was signed from Montpellier for about 10 million. So he wasn't cheap. I think he's going to go, not maybe not to the very top, but he's going to play for a top Premier League side, in my opinion. But I'd love Burnley to keep hold of him for their first season back, because I think he'll be needed.
Yeah, we'll talk about maybe how they'll get on next season. But Sam, both managers who are used to being promoted from the Championship before, third team Scott Parker's taken up, third time Daniel Farker has been promoted. But there was a lot of pressure on both of them, right? Farker after what happened with Leeds at the end of last season, and Parker after that unsuccessful and very short spell in Belgium with Club Bruges, and they've both managed to rise to it. Farker was telling us they're 100% going to get promoted, and he was right.
Yeah, huge credit. I think probably had to start well, probably had to, you know, overcome the problems that inevitably you face once you lose in a playoff final, having been what red hot favourites to get promoted last season and been taken by surprise by certainly Ipswich. So yeah, huge credit to him. Loved the scenes at both Turf Moor and at Elland Road. A little bit disappointed that it's not going to be a shootout on the final day, because I think we were all rubbing our hands together and incredibly excited about the prospect of the three big hitters going at it until the last knock into the season. But yeah, huge credit. And just to put a little bit of meat on the bones, just had a little lick this morning because I completely concur with what Clarkey said. You know, Leeds are the best attacking team. That's the 13th time they've scored three or more. Sheffield United have scored three or more on three occasions. Burnley on five occasions. Leeds, seven players with five or more goals. Burnley with three players that have scored more than three, which is just unbelievable that we are talking about the two teams in the same breath this morning, because they are, of course, promoted as well. Sheffield United, five players, five or more. So Sheffield United's in the middle of that statistic, but Campbell with 10, the top goal scorer, Pirou, obviously 19 now after yesterday, and Brownhill chipping in with his return has been defining for Burnley. 15 points his goals have been worth, and it's something I speak about on the podcast quite often and something I looked at when I was playing. The goals that mean something, that mean points, rather than the fourth in a 4-0 victory. And Brownhill, on the spot, arriving late, on cue, whatever cliche you want, he's been the master this season at getting big goals and getting them over the line, as he did on Monday.
Yeah, enjoyed him saying that they'd bored their way to promotion as well. Is this problematic for you, Clarkey? Chris Weatherspoon of The Athletic pointing out on X, 2024-25 is the sixth consecutive season in which two of the three EFL Championship promotion spots have been claimed by clubs in receipt of parachute payments. Could be all three if Sheffield United win the playoffs. We've also got the issue, haven't we, of it being the second season in a row that all three promoted teams are going to come straight back down from the Premier League. So, I mean, does that mean we're kind of hoping somebody other than Sheffield United wins the playoffs, or is this sort of weird state of purgatory going to keep existing so long as you've got this financial disparity?
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? Yeah, no, I'd prefer it if there was a change in regards to parachute payments, just to make it less favourable to those relegated sides. It isn't an even playing field, is it? I think something could be done, but getting all the clubs to agree on it is not going to be easy at all. It can be done. You know, we've seen it before, haven't we? You know, the likes of Luton have gone up. So, and others, you know, that haven't
Premier League field good story, Nottingham Forest, for one.
Exactly. So it really can be done, but you've got to have everything fall into place, haven't you? So yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't expect any immediate change in that. What you need is good management, and obviously we've talked about that with Farker and Parker, but also good management upstairs. And I think that's really important. But both of these two teams, think about the players they lost last year. You know, Leeds, Rutter, Somerville, Gray, Camara, Sinisterra. You know, it was ravaged. Burnley, I mean, Odebear, Sanderberger, O'Shea, Zaruri, others. It's they've recovered from the blow of you losing those guys really well, recruited brilliantly. Burnley used the loan market amazingly well. Loads of their star players actually don't belong to them. And Leeds picked up some really good signings, didn't they? Bogle has been great. Tanaka, Rothwell on loan, Solomon on loan. Ramazani's had his moment. So, yeah, look, they've made good decisions in the office as well as down there on the pitch. And I think that makes a hell of a difference. And by the way, just to add to Sam's brilliant stats there, who's 1-0 the most often this season? It's not Burnley. It's Leeds. Leeds have 1-0 with a clean sheet in 21 of their 44 games. So it's not just about their attack. They've also been really, really solid at times as well.
I know it's a few days ago now, but Clarkey lavished praise on Estev, who had quite a tough game actually on Friday against Watford's youthful striker. If you've not seen it, have a look at James Trafford's save from the Kayembe strike, which Burnley obviously launched the attack to get the equaliser. It's the best save I've seen this season. It's astonishing. And yeah, he's been brilliant. Estev, Egan Riley, sensational. But the goalkeeper, my goodness me, he's going to be top quality after the confidence this year will bring him.
Yeah, one of several Burnley players, like both the Burnley and Leeds managers, looking to prove that they can make that step up from the Championship to the Premier League. Elsewhere in the Championship, West Brom have sacked Tony Mowbray after just 3 months of his second spell in charge. Monday's 3-1 home defeat to Derby was the final straw. He only won 5 of his 18 games in charge. They're 6 points off the playoff spots in 10th with 2 games to play. Just very disappointing all round this, Sam. I think we wanted a feel-good story, but there's been absolutely no bounce for him with the Baggies.
I just think they've been so used to playing a certain way for so long, it's almost in their DNA and in their makeup now, West Brom, and to great effect as well under Carlos Corberan. So it's difficult to go in there and completely change things. I think make them a little bit more comfortable with the ball, obviously a little bit more creative, attack minded. It's clear that the players have underperformed as well. When, you know, you think of some of those front players. Looked at the bench the other day as well. Armstrong, Grant, DK, Dean Garner been anonymous, really. Swift as well. You know, these guys have really underperformed, I think. And early part of the season, it was on the shoulders of Fellows, who did really well. Johnson, another one. How good was he last season when he first came down? He's been miles off it. So I think the players after take a fair little bit of flack here. 7 goals in the last 10 games. It's the opposite effect that we would have anticipated Tony Mowbray having. Of course, he is going to get criticism, but I think it's probably right now, given it's in the aftermath of quite a chastening home defeat against relegation threatened opposition, that he goes now. And he doesn't probably get the stick that naturally would come his way over the next couple of weeks if he's not going to be there next season. So yeah, an underperforming squad. I'd imagine there's going to be a lot of change. It's relatively fresh ownership, so fascinating to see which way they go, because like I said, defensively not got too many issues with them. Probably still, despite conceding a couple of horrid, hellish set piece goals against Derby, I'd back them to probably be all right in that department. They're definitely going to have to freshen the squad up elsewhere.
Yeah. Just too much managerial change, looking for their 7th permanent boss in less than 6 years. Well, breaking news in the Championship for us on this Tuesday morning is that Norwich City have parted company with head coach Johannes Hopthorpe with immediate effect. Ben Knappe, the sporting director, said, whilst we made this appointment with a long-term focus and in line with our wider club strategy and direction, unfortunately results and performances have deemed it necessary for us to make a change. Jack Wilshere with Tony Roberts and Nick Stanley will take charge on an interim basis for the remaining 2 games of the season. It's a theme, this, isn't it, Clarky? Get rid of your manager just before the end of the season rather than on the last day. No doubt Norwich have been disappointing, but does this surprise you?
It does surprise me, because it was a philosophy sort of coach, wasn't it? Someone they wanted to bring in a brand of football that they could, you know, develop throughout the club, you know, from academy all the way up. They want to play a certain way, you know, pretty football. But the issue with that is always, if you do get promoted playing that way, you kind of have to change it, given the gap between the Premier League and the Championship. So is that the right approach at first team level in the Championship or not? Yeah, they're just too nice, a little bit of a soft touch. And the bottom line is they need to rip it up, I think, and start again in terms of personnel. They've got a lot of young players, some good young players, actually, but a lot of senior guys probably need to go this summer. I'm torn on it, really. I think he is a good coach, but maybe not the right man for the Championship at the moment. Certainly, obviously, in the eyes of Norwich, they've had a change of heart. I bet you they don't go for a sort of total football type coach in the next appointment.
Right, so Jack Wilshere not getting it on a permanent basis then. Sam, if you're Middlesbrough or Cardiff, the two teams that Norwich have left to play, does this help or hinder you?
Oh, maybe slightly hinder, just because of fresh voice, aspirations for one of those aforementioned chaps to be the number one. They will pull out all the stops. And yeah, for whatever reason, the dressing room wasn't fully united under the previous manager. Possibly it will be for the next couple of games. It's taken me me by surprise because I enjoyed watching them in the early part of the season. We probably wouldn't be having this chat had he had his assets available readily throughout the season. Sargent, Saints missed some games. I think defensively they've had issues recently. So I think injuries definitely were a problem at one stage or another this season. But, you know, defensively in the last few weeks, what, 5 at home to Portsmouth, 3 at Mill, which by all accounts was a feeble attempt at getting any away points. Yesterday, lost to Plymouth Argyle as well. I think this stage of the season, as we've seen with Tony Mowbray, if they don't believe he's the right man for next season, it's better to cut your losses now.
I've just thought, though, Russell, what about Russell Martin? I mean, I've just said they might not go for a total football kind of coach, but Russell Martin obviously is a bit of a legend at that club. It's taken a team like Southampton up.
It ended a bit sour for him, didn't it? But was that Farker or was that someone, I think maybe the...
He fell out with Farker, I think.
Or maybe the director of football at the time. So maybe a fresh pair of eyes in that department might be okay.
Mm. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Listener, you might have guessed that this news broke after we'd actually finished recording, so apologies now if you hear a rather clunky edit point. So they're not in the playoff picture. Sheffield United and Sunderland have booked their spots, still 2 places up for grabs. Bristol City and Coventry currently occupy them, but Middlesbrough, Millwall and Blackburn all in contention. Clarkey, I don't think we have Blackburn down as the big winners over the Easter period, right? Mm-hmm. But two victories for Valerian Ismail and all of a sudden they're in with half a shout, albeit you'd put them obviously behind Middlesbrough and Millwall because they got 1 point less, and Coventry and Bristol City too, but... Momentum's a funny thing in football.
It is, yeah. I don't see it, though. I don't see Blackburn sneaking it in, I think. And I'll level with you, I don't really see Millwall or Borough sneaking in. I think that Coventry and Bristol City should really do it from where they are. Bristol City have the issue of Leeds away, you know, if they're fighting for the title. That's a problem, isn't it? I think that's on Monday. But surely they beat Preston at home to get to 70 points. I think if they get to 70 points, that'll be enough. And I'm looking at Coventry as well. They've got Luton. They've got 2 tricky games, actually. They've got Luton away, haven't they? But I think they can get something from it, and then maybe a point, and then they'd have to beat Borough at home to get to that 70-point mark, which I think would, again, be enough for them. So, yeah, I think the 2 in position will make it, but yeah, it's good that we've got some interest. But yeah, it's great news for Valerian Ismail at Blackburn that he's got a bit of momentum. So it just buys him a bit of wriggle room moving forwards. I think if he hadn't got those 2 results, he'd be on his way this summer and they'd be looking at another new manager again. So yeah, really big few days for him.
I guess in Middlesbrough and Millwall's case, Sam, I mean, Middlesbrough, it's their away form that's going to do for them, right? They lost at Sheffield Wednesday, could have taken a point late on. And Millwall will be lamenting that performance at Ewood Park on Good Friday. Because if they've got even a draw from that, you'd fancy them much more than you do currently.
Absolutely. I can't disagree at all with what Clarkey said. I think the Bristol City and Coventry just make it. I think 70 points, I think bang on with that. Would fancy them to beat Preston at home, especially when they've won 6 of their last 7. Bristol City at Ashton Gate. That said, I mean, Blackburn's games, Watford at home, Sheffield United away, you know, they could go 5 straight wins to finish the season. I'd fancy Millwall strongly to beat Swansea, and then they go to Burnley. If obviously they're going toe-to-toe with Leeds for that title, then that's a difficult proposition. But I seem to remember Burnley switching off in their previous promotion season at Turf Moor, I think beaten by QPR, if memory serves me right. So it wouldn't be the strangest thing to happen. But I think given they've got the points on the board, I expect Coventry to win one of those games. And I expect Bristol City to beat Preston. Should be enough for those 2 is my hunch.
All right, so we're saying it's Bristol City and Coventry for the last 2 playoff places. Absolutely no idea who's going down, mind you. A manic Monday saw Plymouth, Luton, Derby, Hull and Pompey all win. Cardiff and Oxford drew with one another. It means that there are 6 points between the bottom side, Plymouth, and Preston in 18th. Stoke probably safe. They got a 4-point buffer between themselves and 3rd bottom Luton. You can just imagine the scenes, can't you, Clarkie, in the respective dressing rooms of all those teams on Monday who won. Came back in thinking, brilliant, we're giving ourselves a right shot in the arm here, and then they see the other results and it's head in hands time.
Oh yeah, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? I couldn't at one point they were all winning, weren't they, and then obviously there was an Oxford equaliser at Cardiff, which actually could keep Oxford in the division, couldn't it? What a goal it was as well from Cameron Brannigan. Scorcher from 30 yards. That's massive and really, really damaging, I think, for Cardiff City. We'll talk about what's happened there, no doubt, in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I've looked at the fixtures and I've not got a Scooby. What's going to happen here?
If you said to Luton, you're going to win both your games and you'll still be in the relegation zone, I mean, that feels particularly harsh, doesn't it?
Really harsh, yeah. They're the form team, aren't they? Luton Town, no doubt about that. If you look at the 8-game form table, Luton are fourth. Yeah, they've won 4, drawn 3, lost 1. So they are in good nick coming into, you know, a game against Coventry. That's massive. And then they've got West Brom away. And as Derby showed, West Brom away is maybe not as hard a fixture as you imagine it to be. So, yeah, I think they can pick up 4. I would imagine they'd get 4 points, Luton. Will it be enough to overtake Derby? I'm not sure, because for me, Derby at home to Stoke on the last day, it's not a gimme, but I fancy them strongly. It's can they get something from the game at Hull? And if they can, then I don't know if a Luton can jump ahead of Derby.
I'm quite happy with my Plymouth, Argyle and Cardiff shouts as we sit here this morning. I just think Hull, 2 opportunities, home to Derby, away to Pompey, who are now safe. I just think they win one of those games. Fratton Park is the hardest place, arguably one of the hardest places to go in the EFL. I'm not sure it is after all the trials and tribulations of this season and them getting safe with 2 games to go. I don't think that's the... And 2 bites of the cherry, and I think a win does it for them. I think it's a toss-up between Derby and Luton for that final spot. And yeah, I agree, Stoke at home, but I think Luton at home against Coventry and then going to West Bromwich Albion are not the worst games in the world either. So I think it could go down to, yeah, I think they could finish on the same points, potentially Luton and Derby, and could be decided by the old goal difference.
Nobody pulling Preston back into it, host Plymouth, then finish at Bristol City.
I think there's too much traffic, I think is the phrase, too much traffic. What I will say though, Stoke, who you mentioned just out of the picture, I said on air, I'll get the rot, or whatever you call it, to prove this. That was the best game ever for Leeds on Saturday. Mm. Stoke in the position they were on the back of their recent results. I've been there, carnival atmosphere. They'd have taken the 2-0. Before the whistle went.
Who are the worst 3 teams though? Seriously, because obviously a lot has happened during the course of the season. In the here and now, are the 3 worst teams going to go down? I don't know whether they are, you know.
I'd have Cardiff and Preston as 2 of them at the moment on current form.
Cardiff for sure. I think Plymouth, just because the goals against, you have to put Cardiff and Plymouth in there. But it's not Luton or Derby, is it? It's just not.
However, you'd much rather watch Plymouth than some of the other teams in that bundle, wouldn't you? 100%.
What about Oxford? I mean, Oxford haven't been very good, have they, for quite a long time? Swansea away on the last day. Swansea one of the form teams in the division. And then, you know, is it Sunderland at home before that? Sooner or later, Sunderland are going to have to turn in a performance before the playoffs just to get themselves back in the groove, haven't they? I mean, I think Regis Labrisse will be getting a bit fed up of the sort of flat end to the season.
That might be the game where he has the dummy run as well. Do you know what I mean? That might be the game where he thinks, you know what, I'll rest a few legs, final day. I'll have a little look at 1 or 2 things in this one.
Yeah, I don't know if Oxford are safe. Yeah.
All right, well, we shall see. As we mentioned, Cardiff sacked Omar Ariza after Friday's defeat at Sheffield United. They've got Aaron Ramsey in charge for the rest of the season. And I mean, really, Clarkey, I feel like Ariza sort of sacked himself, didn't he, with his comments in the media, firstly criticising the fans pre-Sheffield United and then afterwards having a kind of tense exchange with a reporter who was asking him perfectly reasonable questions. It looked like the stress of the situation had got to him and it was untenable.
I felt for him, yeah, because he really wanted this job. You know, Omar's he's a good guy who's worked his way up from the bottom, really, in terms of coaching, all the way up to the, you know, to be a first team manager at Cardiff. It's been an amazing journey for him, but it's a tough gig. And I think as much as he enjoyed part of the job, it obviously got to him. And yeah, there's a lot of stress and pressure. He's probably half relieved now that it's over. The weird one is going for Aaron Ramsey. Never been a gaffer before. Don't know if he wants to be a gaffer. It's a sort of, it is a last roll of the dice, isn't it? You just hope for the best. Not something he couldn't turn down, but is he really a better guy to have there than someone who's got a lot more experience? I'm not sure.
Home to West Brom, away to Norwich for them. All right, we'll leave our Championship chat there and head to League One next. Well, the League One title race might have been a non-event, but the battle for second, positively thrilling. You've got Wrexham in second on 86 points, Wickham third, 84, Charlton fourth on 82, and Stockport fifth on 81. Wrexham heavy favourites for second place with our friends at Quinbet, 4-11 on, Wickham 3-1, Charlton 11-1, Stockport 28-1. You were at Adams Park, Clarkey, on Monday to see the absolute dismantling of Wickham Wanderers by Charlton. Did this tell you more about the hosts than the visitors, or do you want to lavish praise on Charlton first?
Well, a bit of both, yeah. Charlton were extraordinary. Really, really good team performance. They are aggressive and their off-the-ball work was really good. You know, they got touch tight. They didn't really let Wickham breathe. They didn't give them any time or space. Richard Kone didn't get a sniff out of the two centre-backs, Jones and Gillespie. Both were brilliant. Doherty and Coventry, grafters in the middle of the pitch as well for Charlton, who scored some good goals in the game. There's a bit of a problem though for them with Luke Berry coming off injured, so that is a shame. They also had a Nike sent off, Sam's mate, super sub, so he's going to be out for the foreseeable with the suspension. But no, Charlton were extraordinarily good. They are the best front runners in League One by miles. I sort of found this stat out during the commentary yesterday, and it's amazing. They've taken the lead 24 times and they've won 23 of them and drawn the other one and lost none from 1-0 up. So look, if they go to Wrexham and score first, they've got a great chance of turning them over and then taking it to the last day. And then, of course, anything could happen. So yeah, Charlton definitely believe that they can steal in for top two. Yeah, they've been on an amazing run. So yeah, Wrexham are going to have to be really at it to contain Charlton. And I do think that given Wrexham's sort of lack of firepower, little bit of predictability in the way that they attack, lack of guile, I do think that this Charlton rear guard can handle them. So yeah, I quite fancy Charlton to win the game and take it to the last day.
Basically saying I've cursed Chuck Siddique and King Kone in one quick swoop. I'm going to be at this game on Saturday, and I hope Clarkey's right. I hope Charlton have a right go. Could be a little bit of a shootout, and considering they play Burton at home on final day, there's an opportunity. Albeit, I think if it's kind of in the balance going to the last game of the season, I just think Wrexham will probably win at Lincoln. When you consider their away support, when you consider their away record in recent times, I just think the experience might tell. Certainly in contrast to Wickham Wanderers, I know they've brought in, you know, vastly experienced players, but I just think that spine at Wrexham, what they've accumulated over the last few years, the likes of Rodriguez, Rathbone, James, Dobson, Scar. There's a lot of leaders there. And I think if it came down to the crunch, they'd be able to hold their nerve on final day. But it's going to be fascinating at the weekend. Wickham, obviously, I think they have to avoid defeat at Orient. I'd quite fancy them to beat Stockport, considering they know their fate final day. But the Orient one is a very tough game when you consider their position.
Yeah, tough game. Look, I've got to be honest, Tom Wickham in this game against Charlton, they were absolutely dreadful. They obviously made mistakes at the back, some poor goals to give away. Didn't handle the long balls from Charlton very well at all. But it's really what they did with the ball. And a lot of it was down to Charlton being, you know, super tight to them. But they didn't have a shot on target. They didn't have a shot until the 47th minute or something like that. And then they did only really had a shot on target towards the end of the game. It was pretty much a non-event in terms of what they produced with the ball in the game. They're going to have to be, you know, miles better to get anything from the game at Leighton Orient, who are scoring goals for fun at the moment.
Clarkey, I heard you mention Udo in the commentary. Mm. When did he come on, and what start? Mm. What shape did they play yesterday? Because I did some digging prior to covering them recently. They're a much better team with Udo in there alongside Kone, and he's been getting some valuable goals as well.
Yeah, I hammered Mike Dodds a little bit on air ahead of kickoff. I said this is one of the most defensive teams I've ever seen from Wickham. You know, they went with five at the back, but it was a proper five. You know, they even dropped Onyedimma. So they went with Grimmer as your right wing back and brought in Lowe as an extra centre back. So it was very much a five at the back. And then, of course, in the four in midfield, there was no Udo. He was dropped. McCleary did come back in, but it was, they didn't, yeah. And then basically it was five and four, and then Kone was miles away from the rest of the team, very isolated. He took too long to make changes. I thought, what, nailed on, triple change at half time or something, back to a back four. No, nothing until about 60, 65 minutes. And then Udo come on, but yeah, you know, they still stuck with five at the back for a fair bit of the second half, which I just thought was bizarre.
Well, Wickham, Charlton and Stockport in the playoff places currently. It's going to be either Orient or Reading. Orient have six at the moment, those two separated by a goal difference. Shout out to Dave Challoner to Stockport tweeting, in 14 full seasons as a manager across six different divisions, he's never finished lower than a playoff spot, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. So yeah,
it's amazing.
And with a chance to secure another promotion for them, exceptional work. All right, League Two to finish for us today. Sam, you were at Newport v Walsall. Goodness me, poor old Walsall. What has happened? They are only a point outside the automatic promotion places, but their form is not good. Doncaster, the only of the top four to win on Monday. So they're on 78, Port Vale 77, Bradford 75, Walsall on 74. What did you make of the Saddlers in Wales?
Oh, not great, in truth. Changed the system, 3-4-3, played with two tens. Obviously, they've been a 3-5-2 throughout the season. So Jealous and Adoma off Amanchi. Bright for 10, 15 minutes. You don't have any criticism there for trying to change things. I think that, you know, there must have been an acceptance from the supporters and an understanding that they're going to have a look at something else considering the recent results and run of games they're on, but it didn't really work. And from about 20 minutes in, Newport were probably the more likely team. It was a second half where Walsall probed, made changes, obviously in search of the goal, and then it kind of just went a bit mad the last few minutes. There was a straight red for Brennan of Newport for a kind of two-footed tackle. And then Simkin took out Josh Martin, the Newport substitute. This is the goalkeeper. It was a little, I mean, I was a little bit blinded by the poles at Rodney Parade, but it was a little bit reminiscent of the Millwall goalkeeper on Mateta in terms of coming charging out. I understand he got a large chunk of the ball, so probably no problems with that. And then the big moment was a disallowed Walsall goal, which was madness. We could see it was handball. McEntee at the far post from a kind of in-swinging delivery. It looked easy to just nudge it over the line with his head. For some reason, it hit his arm. Wild celebrations in front of the Walsall fans. Clear as day that it was handball, but it took an eternity for the officials to come to the right decision. So, so bitterly disappointing. On their haunches, the Walsall players at the end. On the deck, desperately feeling sorry for themselves. And yeah, it's going to take some recovery if they can get themselves up for what, Aki at home, Crewe away, which is a difficult game. They're just not winning games though, so you can look at the fixtures all you like, and even if they were playing against two relegated sides in the next fortnight, I doubt they're going to get maximum points from both, possibly one. I think it feels like playoffs for them now, and I think, I don't know what Clarkie thinks, it's difficult to make a case for anyone, I think, outside the top three, despite obviously the saving grace really is that Donny play Bradford next up. So that's the one game that keeps it nice and open for us.
Yeah, so that's Saturday, Adrian. Port Vale, bad weekend for them, wasn't it? Lost at Carlisle, needed an injury time equaliser at home to Grimsby. I guess if you're Walsall, you're hoping, what, Donny and Bradford draw, or maybe Donny win it, and then there's two places up for grabs. But maybe Port Vale have actually got away with those two results, and that late equaliser against Grimsby might be a massive moment for them.
Yeah, I think that Port Vale will take a lot from the comeback, won't they, against Grimsby. It was, you know, they were dead and buried, 2-0 down, then Talage, who's been great, and Debrah score late on. They've got tough games, put Wimbledon at home and Gillingham away, who have been going well under Ainsworth. So not easy, but I'm with Sam here. It's really just three from four, and when the fourth one is Walsall, it doesn't feel like the top three will have to get that many points to nail it down. Donny, I mean, back-to-back 3-0s at just the right time. Tranmere away, Colchester at home, fantastic. Molyneux back on fire. I don't know if you saw one of his assists, was unbelievable on Monday. Yeah, Donny, you're going to do it. Port Vale will edge over the line. I mean, Bradford are bottling it a little bit, aren't they? They've lost leads in their last three matches, Bradford. You know, been in pole position and they've picked up 2 points from three games. They might feel that they need something at Donny, but Fleetwood at home, last day of the season, feels like a bit of a gimme, I think, for the Bantams. Can we see Walsall winning at Crewe? Not the way they're playing. I mean, they could beat Aki at home, but Crewe away, I don't know. So yeah, top three, I think we'll stay in position, and I'm going to go with Donny to be champions.
Feels like an eternity ago, but just on Thursday night at Bradford against Notts County, David McGoldrick. I mean, incredible goal. Yeah, watching the game and subsequently, he's everything I wanted to be as a footballer, David McGoldrick. Poise, control, the ability to score wonderful goals. I wasn't quite that, but he is a joy to watch. He runs around as well, which I know is should be a given for footballers, but for those flair players, for the Mavericks, it's not always the case. So his performance was incredible, especially second half. And there was a big contrast between Notts County and Bradford. Notts County, you know, there was variety in their game, but when they've got such a special player, obviously they play into him a lot. Him and Jatta's link up is going to be vital if they're going to be competitive in the playoffs. And Bradford, they play quite direct and they've got such energy in the front positions that it's not necessarily the front man getting hold of it, akin to David McGoldrick for the opposition, but they fight for second balls like their lives depend on it. So they got incredible energy. So it was a nice contrast between the two sides, obviously shared the points, but we'll see the weeks ahead. Yeah, just I'm looking forward to seeing McGoldrick and possibly having a say in the swan song of his career.
Means something to him as well, doesn't it? He went to Notts County because, you know, that's the club he wanted to play for. You know, it's not, he could have gone to a higher level, I think. So, yeah, it's great that he's making such a positive impact.
Yeah, you've got to be a special player to do the Notts County, Nottingham Forest, Derby County, East Midlands triple header. Yeah, 37 years old. Still going strong, but Notts not guaranteed of a playoff place after they lost at home to Cheltenham. Colchester, Salford and Chesterfield still right in the mix to get a spot in the playoffs. What we do know for sure in League Two is that Morecambe are down 18 years after their promotion to the EFL. Their time in the Football League has come to an end. Relegated after losing at home to Salford, promoted to League One in 2021, stayed there for a season, but since relegation back to League Two, been a massive struggle for them. We've been talking about their ownership in issues which have been rumbling on and on. They've been up for sale since September 2022, still no sign of a takeover being completed. Transfer embargoes, point deductions, late payment of wages. It is a miserable, miserable story, Clarkie. You say, you know, we're just waiting for a takeover to go through, but we've been waiting for that for nearly 3 years now. It's a worrying story, the Morecambe one.
Really worrying, yeah. You're sort of, I think, approaching the 1,000-day mark, you know, of that, you know, that process starting. They've got owners that don't want to be there, that don't want to sort of invest anything anymore. And look, they've had to work with embargoes and soft embargoes, and they just haven't had the budget that you need really to be competitive. You know, it's a small club anyway at League Two level. I played against them many times in the National League and they weren't getting big crowds in that division at the time. So they've done amazingly to be in the EFL and to be competitive over the years. But if your ownership is in this much of a mess, then you're right up against it, aren't you? So that's the reason they've gone down. I wouldn't put this on Adams particularly. You know, they couldn't do much about it, but because they couldn't sign anyone for ages. Then they did basically sign about 15 players on one day, didn't they? It was a bit crazy. It's not really the way to put a team together. It's not ideal. And yeah, it's been a horrible, horrible season for them.
Yeah, you almost got probably the best man for the job as well in the manager's hot seat, who's done amazing things at that club. So when you look at that, you just got to say it's got to be the upheaval at board level, or lack of, and also lack of quality in the squad. Previously, Stockton, Mellon for a period, probably made them get away from it because they had goals in the team. And I remember I mentioned Liang Goal about a month ago when they had those back-to-back victories over Swindon and Cheltenham. They've lost four straight since that. Falstorm, he's not scored. Hallam Hope hasn't scored since November, and they've not won away from home this calendar year. 10 straight defeats, only scored three goals. So it's a lack of firepower. And I would imagine the uncertainty that Derek Adams is having to work with at the moment, that ultimately those two things has probably cost them.
Yeah, I saw one for them as well, seeing Stockton score against them on their own patch, given all the goals that he scored for them a couple of seasons ago. Looks like Carlisle are going to be joining them. They're 4 points behind Tranmere with two games to play, despite those penalty heroics against Port Vale on Friday. Looks like they've left it a little bit too late, which you could also say about Adrian and I's futile pursuit in search of Sam in the Predictions League. It was a big opportunity for us, Clarkie, over Easter to reel him in a bit. I mean, I've managed that. I finished it with 4 points, thanks in large part to my correct prediction that MK Dons v Newport would be 0-0. You got 2 points and Sam got 1 point, but it's still a commanding lead for him.
Commanding, yeah. It's a 9-point lead at this stage. Obviously, we've got the playoffs to come, so there are other opportunities, but we both need big weekends here. Sam's got 63. I'm on 54. You're on 52. So I could yet take that wooden spoon home.
You'll have to show me in the small print if the predictions are going into the postseason. Don't think that was ever on the agenda. Did I nor get an agenda?
I think it's double points in the playoffs, mate. Yeah.
And if you ever played in the playoffs, you get deducted 10 points from the off. All right, Sam, you can go first then. How about that this week? Luton against Coventry. What's the score going to be?
Cool, I'm taking the mic. I didn't even see these. Have you told us what the predictions were going to be?
Surely have, yeah.
Oh, good. I've given you an opportunity here.
I haven't thought about it either, Sam. So
Luton v Coventry. What did they beat Bristol City? 3-1. Blimey, that was a bit limp. 2-1, the Hatters.
Okay, Adrian.
Could be anything, couldn't it?
It could really be anything. Do you know what? I'm going to go Cov to turn them over. I'm going to flip it around. Luton 1, Cov 2.
Okay, and just to keep it interesting, I'll say it's going to be a draw, 2-2. Adrian, you can have first dibs at Wrexham v Charlton.
Oh, okay. I said I fancy Charlton if they get the lead. So let's go with it. Let's go with that. I'm going to go. This is good. This is bold. It's probably because I've seen them in the flesh and they were brilliant. I'm going to go Wrexham 0, Charlton 2. 1-0, and then Wrexham are going to throw everything at it, and Charlton are going to steal a second goal, and there's going to be raptures in the away end. There you go.
Another 2-2 for me, Sam. How about you?
I think it'll be cagier than that. I mean, Charlton have been incredible. They did lose at Posh, didn't they? I'm just going to go quiet safety. I'm going to go 1-0 Wrexham. Orient to do them a favour. Celebrations galore at the race course.
All filmed for the next series of the documentary, of course. Salford v Colchester is a big one in League Two. Both teams looking to break into the playoffs late doors. I'll go first on this one. I'm going to give Colchester a 1-2 away win. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, I was thinking like that. A response to very disappointing defeat at Donny. Cowleys are getting stuck into them. Salford 0. Colchester 2.
Ooh. Sam, you going to make it a clean sweep for Colchester?
No, I don't think so, because they played Barrow last day. Could be enough for them. Salford go to Carlisle and it's their last throw of the dice, really, isn't it? So they'll have to go for it and they're going to get the job done. 2-1 Salford.
Okay, nice. You shall find out next week how we go on with that. Before we leave you, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum 3 bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. The link to that and the link to the offer are both in the show notes. Before we go, Quick tweet of the week. This one comes from Plymouth's Mohamed Tijani, who has two pictures of him during the game that they won against Coventry, and says, "When the pressure's on, our guile rises. We are not done yet. Hashtag PAFC." I found it sort of mildly confrontational, this, Sam. It unsettled me a little bit. I don't know whether it's the Argyle rises or the we are not done yet, but I mean, it's straightforward. Does it get you up for it in terms of Plymouth's fight for survival?
It does quite. I'm not sure I like the wording. I like when the pressure's on. I don't like Argyle rises, but yeah, the thinking behind it, I'm all for. Did he start here? Because the first reply from Chris Sweet is, oh yes, you, Bundu and Hardy look to be a right force up front, which he would be right by. I initially read it as Bundu and Hardy look to be a right force up front, which we're being particularly harsh.
Yeah, he started, he played.
Author. Yeah. And he obviously got that great goal, didn't he, against Sheffield United, if memory serves. So he's turned up just in the nick of time, as of the other two, by the way, because they were anonymous first half of the season. Now they can't stop scoring.
On loan from Slavia Prague, here's Clarkey. His bio is all in caps, which is a bit of a red flag. Professional football player at Argyle, Nigerian international, played in under 20 World Cup in Poland. Given that CV, he deserves more than 1,613 followers, but he's only following five people himself, one of which is Plymouth, the other is his parent club, also the Sky Bet Championship. So let's keep an eye, shall we, as to whether he still follows them next season.
Yeah, he's got no interest in what anyone else has to say on social media, which is fair enough. I don't know, it's a bold one coming from someone that's just made two starts for Argyle. Argyle rises, it doesn't sound right, does it? Is that the right word? And look, they haven't risen away from home very often, have they, this season, let's be honest. But look, it's bullshy, it's out there, it's got the fans revved up. So I kind of like it because he's not boring. I mean, tweet of the week really comes from someone that might be in the championship next year, and that's Jamie Vardy, right? You must have seen his message yesterday. Absolutely loved it. That's the real tweet of the week for me.
Not for me. Can't stand Jamie Vardy. Awful person. We will be talking about him next season, though, I guess, unless he retires. Right, that's where we're going to leave it for today. Thanks to Sam and Adrian for their expertise. As usual, we'll be back with another show next week. Who knows what will have happened in the exciting world of the EFL between now and then. For now, though, it's goodbye.